football, if you had a good week last week. I was just telling Nathan just a minute ago that I had a pretty hectic week, last couple of weeks actually. Had some major presentations to make at our company, to upper management. You know, when the price tag's about $60 million, they listened pretty carefully. So, but it all went well. So the Lord's been good. What I have for you today is a parable that I'd like to share. It's in Luke chapter 16. So turn with me to Luke chapter 16. I know last month when I shared from Luke chapter 18, some of you might remember about the rich young rich ruler who came to the Lord Jesus and came with a question, and the question was, what can I do to inherit eternal life? I don't want to go into that today, but this is a story about another rich man, but this is a parable. The Lord Jesus talks about this man with a lesson for all of us, actually, primarily for the Pharisees. As you know, in Luke chapter 15 and 16, verse 14 says, "Now the Pharisees who were lovers of money." So this is primarily to the Pharisees that the Lord Jesus is speaking this parable to. We'll come back to that portion later, but let's read the parable right now. Look at verse 19. It says, "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who were laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted his eyes and said, and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." Verse 24, "And then he cried and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us.' Then he said, 'I beg you,'" this is the rich man speaking, "'I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment.' Abraham said to him, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen, let them hear them.' For he said, 'No, Father,'" this is again the rich man speaking, "'No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' But Abraham said to him, 'If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one, though one rise from the dead." As I said, this parable is spoken primarily to the Pharisees by the Lord Jesus. And we'll look at the reason why he spoke to the Pharisees a little later. But the first section of this parable, the first three verses, verses 19 to 12 through 21, talks about two people who, during their life and the circumstances in life. And you'll notice that the Lord Jesus does not name the rich man. He doesn't have a name. But he names Lazarus, which is very unusual for a parable. So some things that maybe this was a true story, but we do not know that for sure. But the word Lazarus means, there's a meaning to that name, says the one whom God helps. That's what the name Lazarus means. So what do we know about this rich man? The scripture says he was clothed in purple. Purple is a royal color. You know, he was pretty wealthy. He was clothed in royal colors and fine linen, expensive clothing. He was very wealthy. Life was good for this man. He dwelt sumptuously. He ate well. He had everything he needed. He was happy. He was very well blessed in the eyes of the world. He was a blessed man. Now, what does the Pharisees consider a person like that? What's the view of the Pharisees of a person like that? God has blessed this man, right? His destiny would be heaven, right? He's a blessed man. Now, how about Lazarus? He was the exact opposite in his life, right? He was a poor man, a street beggar. And he begged at close proximity to this rich man's home. His clothing was not even described. So you can imagine what he wore. Probably nothing. And what was his food like? The garbage that the rich man would throw out. Crumbs that fell off his table. And he had to fight off the dogs to get the food from the garbage. And he had sores on his legs, and the dogs licked his sores. And in the eyes of the world, what is this man like? Filthy, not blessed. And what would you brand a person like that? The Pharisees would brand him as a sinner. He's worthy of hell, right? He's not blessed by God. We should be careful, like, right? When we see people like that, what goes through our minds? So that's what we want to think here as we go through this parable. Consider, how would you consider circumstances of other people when you think about them, when you see them? Now, Lazarus was fully aware of this rich man's situation, right? And his horrible situation. Lazarus lived on the streets. And he probably saw people that came and visited this rich man. You know, that kind of clothing they wore and the kind of things that they brought. Like in today's, the kind of car, in today's terms, the kind of cars that they drove on. And maybe the aroma of the food in that home. And the laughter, the parties, the ceremonies. The rich man was also aware of the plight of Lazarus, right? Every time he went in and out of his home, he saw this poor beggar on the street. And he consciously chose to ignore him. The rich man chose to indulge himself with the wealth that God has blessed him with and not minister to the poor. That was a clear violation to the Old Testament scriptures. The blessing that God has given you is to support those who are needy. Proverbs is full of those verses like that. So the rich man failed. He had an idol, didn't he? What was his idol? His wealth. The rich man is probably well respected, high status on earth. The poor man was ignored, disrespected, just because of his plight. But in verse 22 says, so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. They both die, right? Just because you're rich, you can keep yourself from dying. We all die, right? Can you imagine the funeral that the rich man had? All the people that visited him and during the funeral. How about Lazarus' funeral? Probably never had one. How was his burial? The rich man was buried in a nice grave. In those days, people didn't have money. The dead bodies were just thrown down Mount Golgotha. You remember that mount? Called the place of the skull. That's where dead bodies of people, poor people, were thrown. What was your fate after death? Says, Lazarus was carried, he was escorted by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Amazing, isn't it? But all it says about the rich man, he died and he was buried. What a difference, right? Abraham's bosom was a place of bliss. It's a prototype of heaven. But what is Hades? Verse 23 says, and the rich man was in torments in Hades. He lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Hades was a place of torment, a prototype of hell. You know, the Lord Jesus, to the thief on the cross, told him, a repentant thief, that you shall be with me in paradise today. See, that is the idea here. There's a place of bliss for Lazarus. Matthew chapter 8 and 11 gives us an idea what Abraham's bosom is. I'll read it to you. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11 says, And I say to you that many shall come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of God. You remember John reclining towards the breast of the Lord Jesus in that upper room? See, it is normally happens during a meal. And Lazarus was here at a banqueting table with Abraham, leaning on Abraham and enjoying the meal. And that's probably why the rich man requested Abraham to send Lazarus and to at least drop a drop of water on his tongue to cool him. So the circumstances of these two people are completely altered 180 degrees after their death. Let's read verse 24. The rich man cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Notice how he addresses Abraham. He says, Father Abraham. Clearly this rich man was a descendant of Abraham. He's, after all, a Jew, right? But Abraham said in verse 25, son, again, how Abraham addresses him as son. Remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. Just because he was a descendant of Abraham, he didn't have a ticket to heaven, did he? He did not. Likewise, we don't have it either. Just because you're born in a Christian home doesn't mean that you have a ticket to heaven. This rich man, although he was in Hades, but he could see what was going on the other side. He could see Abraham, and he could see Lazarus. What are some of the characteristics of hell or Hades, as you see it here? It certainly is dark. He could not see anybody else with him, right? It's like confinement, confined prison. That's the way you feel. He couldn't see, but he could see the other side of the gulf. He could see, you know, the prototype of heaven. Abraham's bosom. He could see the other side. But on the other hand, the righteous could not see what was going on in Hades. Let's read the rest of the verses. Now, when the rich man asked Abraham to send Lazarus to him to just cool his tongue, what did Abraham tell him? Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. That was Lazarus' first request to Abraham, to send Lazarus to him so he can cool his tongue. But what did Abraham tell him? Your request is denied. Why? There's two reasons for that. What was the first reason? Abraham is basically telling the rich man, you got what you deserved. You cannot change the situation after you die. It have to be done before your death. Your choices have to be done prior to your death. After death, there's no changes to the situation. You cannot change your situation. So your request is denied. And there was a second reason. He says there's a gulf between Abraham's bosom and Hades. People can't go from one side to the other. There's no access. So the rich man had a second request in verse 27. He says, the rich man said, I beg you therefore, Father Abraham, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Now the rich man understands that the choices have to be made before death. Once you die, you get to your respective destinations, you can't change them. And his request is that Abraham would send Lazarus back to earth so that he can speak to his 5 brothers that they will not come to Hades. So that they can be warned of Hades. What did Abraham say? Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And the rich man said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But Abraham said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded that one would rise from the dead. You know, there is enough evidence or revelation in the Moses and the prophets that's needed for one's salvation. If that's not good enough, nothing else will change. You see? That's basically what Abraham is saying. Even if someone is sent down from death, would be raised from the dead to go and warn them, nothing's going to change. Now, why did the Lord Jesus say this parable? As I said earlier, he was addressing the Pharisees. I'd like to read verse 14. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him, or scoffed him, ridiculed him. Now when they say all these things, he's talking about the parable that was said before from verses 1 through 13. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, who also heard all these things, they derided him. Verse 15, and the Lord Jesus said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God, or detestable in the sight of God. Verse 16, the law and the prophets were until John the Baptist. Since that time, the kingdom of God had been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail. Verse 18, whosoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced from her husband commits adultery. So you can notice that the Pharisees were scoffing the Lord Jesus. They were ridiculing him. Why? Because of a previous parable that he said in verses 1 through 13. And that parable, we don't have time to go into it, but that parable is talking about a steward that wasted his master's resources. Let's read verse 13. The Lord Jesus ends the parable with this verse. He says, no servant shall serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is the god of money. You cannot serve God, the true God, and mammon. The Pharisees did not like what they heard. That's why they scoffed him, derided him, made fun of him. And the Lord Jesus confronts the Pharisees with two of their failures and then gives this parable to the Pharisees. What was the first failure that the Lord Jesus talks about? The first failure of the Pharisees. In verse 15, he tells them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. What does that mean? They were men pleasers, right? They directed the attention to themselves. Outward appearance of themselves. They looked good in the eyes of others. They made themselves look good in the eyes of others. Do we have the same problem? You've got to think about that, right? What is the motivation for what we do? Is it to please men or is it to please God? You know, we know about the Pharisees. We read about them in the scriptures. They love to make long prayers, you know, to impress men. They fasted just to show their self-righteousness. They made large financial contributions. Took places of prominence at banquets. They made themselves look good. That's what they did. Wore expensive clothing. Jesus said they were hypocrites because their hearts were wicked. So going back to the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, if it was outward appearance that mattered, think about it, if it was outward appearance that mattered, the rich man would be pronounced righteous, right? Think about it, if outward appearance is what mattered, the rich man would have been pronounced righteous. And he would be the one in Abraham's bosom. And Lazarus would be in Hades, right? Because men esteemed the rich man. He was a man of status. He was a well-respected man on earth. He was well-known by everybody. But how about Lazarus? was the rich man rejected because of his wealth? Was the beggar justified because he was poor? Was the rich man justified because he was rich? I'm sorry, was the rich man rejected because he was rich, and the beggar justified because he was poor? Was wealth the problem? Are all rich people going to hell? Well, if that is true, then God's judgment would be based on external appearance, right? Outward appearance. If God's judgment was based on outward appearance, then the rich man would be in Abraham's bosom. Wealth is not the problem, right, here. Was the Lord Jesus poor? No. He owned the cattle in 1,000 hills. He's rich. Was Abraham poor? No. Abraham was a rich man. But wealth is not the issue here. The rich man was not condemned because he was rich. And Lazarus was not justified because he was poor. Is because of what they believed in. Remember when the rich man's concern was for his brothers and to ask Abraham to send Lazarus back to earth to warn them? Did Abraham tell the rich man that, okay, tell the brothers to sell all that they have? That's not what Abraham said, right? The issue was not how much riches you had, but listen to Moses and the prophets at what matters. Moses and the prophets, the law and the prophets, not the law alone, but the prophets too. The entirety of the scriptures. The Pharisees have a tendency to just focus on the law, but totally forget the hard part of it, which is the prophets. Now, there is a tendency for us to use outward appearance as a means of spirituality. But we've got to be careful. What are the many ways that we could falsely measure spirituality by outward appearances? Maybe the wealth of a person, the status of a person. Maybe the knowledge of a person. Education, spiritual gifts, maybe. Church attendance. Participation in church-related activities. Outward appearances. The motivation for what we do, what is it? Is it to please men, to get men's approval, or is it to get God's approval? The motivation to what we do. The second failure of the Pharisees. Notice verse 16. It says, the law and the prophets were until John the Baptist. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail. What is the Lord Jesus saying here? The former dispensation has ended with John the Baptist. A new dispensation has come in with the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody is coming into, is a welcome change, but for the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the custodians of the law and the prophets. And what the Lord Jesus is saying is they failed in that. The The Pharisees claimed to obey and promote and preserve the law and the prophets. And one example the Lord Jesus says that they failed in verse 18 says, whosoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. And whosoever marries her who is divorced from her husband commits adultery. You know, divorce was rampant in Israel during this time. And the Lord Jesus holds the Pharisees responsible for that. Rather than promoting God's standard of marriage, they encouraged divorce in that day. They've diluted God's standard. It's the second failure of the Pharisees. They failed as custodians of the law and the prophets. They were guilty of corrupting God's standard. The last portion of the parable illustrates this. Remember when the rich man wanted Abraham to send Lazarus to his brothers to warn them? Abraham denied his request, and he told him they had the law and the prophets, the Moses and the prophets. And that was all that they needed. It was the knowledge of the scriptures that leads to repentance. Just because a person goes from the dead is not going to change a person's mind. Remember the Lord Jesus, John the Baptist said, repent. That was his message, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. I'd like to read a couple of verses in closing from Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 19. Speaking here, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law we become conscious of sin. The purpose of the law is to let us know that we are sinners, right? And that we need a Savior. The purpose of the law is to point to ourselves and teach us that we are sinful beings. Verse 21, but now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. Speaking of the Lord Jesus. But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, had been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. The righteousness from God come through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So that there you have. The purpose of the Old Testament revelation is to teach us that we are sinful beings and that we need a Savior. But on the other hand, the Pharisees, who were custodians of the law and the prophets, they failed to see this truth that was revealed in the scriptures. And the destiny of people like that is what? It's Hades. That's what the Lord Jesus telling them to the Pharisees. There's two things, right? Whether do you look at external appearances of other people, or do you show yourself good in the eyes of others? The scripture says God sees your heart, That's what matters. What's internal is what matters to God, not what's external. And we should not dilute God's standards. We've got to stand up to it. Our motivation should be to win God's approval, not man's approval. That's the message of this parable. God's approval is what matters. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for this time that we've had to once again consider your word. Father, this is the Lord Jesus speaking. Although he was speaking directly to the Pharisees, we understand that these truths apply to us, that we might consider these matters and how to protect ourselves from falling into the traps that the Pharisees fell into. That we may not consider outward appearances for spirituality. That our actions would be to please you and not please men. That we would not dilute your standards, but adhere to it. No matter what pressures we might have in this world to deviate from their standards. Help us to be an example in this world, to the people of this world, that we might reveal the truths of the scriptures to them in our speech, in our actions, in our behavior, that your name will be glorified. Father, we thank you for this time we've had to once again look at your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit's leading. We thank you, Father, for this time. We pray for your blessings upon our new week. Go before us. Give us success in the things that we do, that you may have the glory and the honor. We commit all things to your hands in Christ's precious name.